Welcome to episode 291 of the Truth Quest podcast, the truth about Biden's resume. Please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, share episodes with your friends, and support the podcast by shopping at truthquestshirtfactory.com. Personally, I don't believe Biden will be the Democratic nominee come November. After all, the guy can barely complete a sentence or climb a set of stairs. Despite the title of this episode, as I walk through the content, I need you to remember that Biden's resume is also that of the Democratic Party, because members of the Democratic Party, at the national level at least, in the House and Senate, do not allow dissent in their ranks. Individual members do not have free will nor free speech. They are not granted the ability to evaluate policy prescriptions and speak freely publicly about their assessment. They all vote as a bloc. No dissent is allowed. It's very authoritarian, but that's how the doomsday cult, formerly known as the Democratic Party, rolls. So Biden's resume is the whole party's resume. Back to Biden. He will at some point be replaced on the ballot or step aside. The Biden team that runs the White House has sucked the useful idiot dry. Biden is done. So when they do replace him, the normals must be ready to pounce and expose Biden's resume as the Democrats' resume. We must be ready to take a topic, any topic, and ask the new nominee what they would have done differently had they been president for the last 3.5 years. If they reply nothing, then we're done. If they reply with a real response like, well, you know, I would have been tougher on the border, we follow that up with, can you show me any public statements that you made contemporaneously to that effect? Or why didn't you speak up and fight over the last 3.5 years? To which they will have no answer. Let's review Biden and the Democrats' resume. So first, let's just quickly recap Biden's career as a way of level setting this discussion. He became a lawyer in 1969, served on the Newcastle County Council for 2 years from 1970 to 1972 while trying to run his own law firm, Biden & Walsh. Corporate law apparently didn't appeal to him, and criminal law didn't pay very well, so he supplemented his income by managing properties. That was it for real-world experience. 2 years. He then became the Delaware senator for the next 36 years. I mean, seriously, folks, I understand that some of you find that to be quite an accomplishment, but if kissing ass, backstabbing, lying, manipulating, and spending other people's money is your idea of admirable, then you're likely listening to the wrong podcast. Biden, of course, served as Obama's VP for 8 years, taking his career in Washington to over 4 decades. Is there anything more worthless than a career politician? Along the way, he, with the help of his son Hunter and his brother James, peddled his influence around the globe, collecting and laundering millions of dollars through the Biden crime family's series of LLCs. He seemed to have focused most of his bribery accepting donations from China, Ukraine, and Russia, but there were others. All of that is recapped in 2 previous episodes, episode 118 and episode 184. After completing his second term as vice president, Biden joined the faculty of the University of Pennsylvania, where he was named the Benjamin Franklin Professor of Presidential Practice, which means sign an employment contract, show up a handful of times, give a couple of speeches bragging about all the good things that you think you did, and collect a couple $100,000 salary. Good gig if you can get it. It's reminiscent of Hunter's $83,000 a month gig he had at Burisma. To round out his resume, Biden sought the Democratic presidential nomination 3 times, in 1988, 2008, and again in 2020. And did you know that shortly after he dropped out of the race in 1988, he had brain surgery 2 times to repair aneurysms? Let's now look at Biden and the doomsday cult, formerly known as the Democratic Party's resume, for the last 3.5 years. You will notice 2 themes. Number one, they are very good at implementing destructive policies. It's almost universally true that every policy they prescribe hurts a group of people. And two, they are exceptionally good at rolling back good policies. It's almost like these people sold their collective souls to the devil, and the devil has come to collect. Let's start the resume review by framing it in terms of peace and prosperity. The Democratic Party is the party of defunding the police. This is the party that encourages Antifa and BLM to riot, loot, burn, and murder. This is the party that defines violent crime as understandable while conveying idiotic expressions of social justice. This is the party where scores of longtime democratically run cities operate in utter chaos, lawlessness, and violence. This is a party that endorses district attorneys that refuse to prosecute criminals, refuse to set bail, and approves same-day release for arrested repeat violent offenders. Let's look at foreign policy. Consider the purposeful and disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, turning the country, billions of dollars of equipment, and Bagram Air Base over to the Taliban after 20 years. What reasonable, morally driven person could justify any of that? On top of that, we had 13 Marines and hundreds of others murdered by a suicide bomber. A military sniper testified before Congress that he begged his commanders to give him the clearance to shoot the bomber who they had been tracking for several days. They refused to give the order. Look at the chain of command. Where does that buck stop? That's right, on the desk of the president, who's the commander-in-chief, who refused to allow the saving of hundreds of people's lives. I'm sorry all of you sycophants are too pathetic to evaluate a situation honestly, but at the end of the day, Biden and his team, whoever was making the decisions back then, did not care if hundreds were blown to bits. Biden lied to then-British Prime Minister Boris Johnson that the U.S. was not going to pull out, and he ordered the evacuation in the middle of the night, leaving thousands of people behind to be massacred by the Taliban. How about Ukraine? Over $100 billion thrown down that drain, and more is coming. Meanwhile, back at home, Americans suffer from homelessness, drug abuse, mental illness, inflation, joblessness. But no need to bother with those folks. We need to send money to Ukraine. Biden, the doomsday cult, and many Republicans have successfully killed off an entire generation of Ukrainian men. These people are willing to fight to the last Ukrainian, all while poking the Russian bear by not only funding Ukraine's military efforts, but threatening to bring Ukraine into NATO, all the while marching towards World War III. Also, our U.S.-based military-industrial complex can get paid. I mean, they need a war, right? Since Biden killed the one in Afghanistan, who are they going to sell arms to? Consider Biden's resume when it comes to the Middle East, where he successfully rolled back peace in the region secured by the Trump administration. His resume contains this item: remove sanctions on Iran that had them fully contained and behaving themselves, leading to their funding of Hamas and Hezbollah. Biden unfroze billions of sanctioned dollars, which led to the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel and essentially the blowing up of the Middle East. At the same time he is starting more wars, Biden and the doomsday cult are implementing more destructive policies by emasculating the military. Obama got the ball rolling when he was in office by removing anyone in leadership who ever hinted at being a country-loving conservative. His third term, the Biden years, were used to finish the job of tearing down the United States military. They employ non-meritocratic standards of race, gender, and sexual orientation to determine promotion and commendation. They deliberately smear as racist and insurrectionist the largest demographic in the military, who in recent wars died at twice their numbers in the population, so that they leave the military or never join it. They encourage retired officers to slander their former commander-in-chief. And most notable, they failed to hit the recruiting goals over and over again during Biden's term in office. I can't imagine why. That was a look at peace, or lack thereof, under the Biden reign of terror. Now let's examine prosperity, or the lack thereof, under him. When Biden took office, the United States was still dealing with the COVID crisis, but prior to that, the economy in 2019 was humming along as well as it had in decades. Again, leave it to the devil-controlled Marxist Democrats to go to work tearing down what is good. Dr. Evil's stunt double, James Carville, once famous quip, "It's the economy, stupid," still rings true today. Throughout Biden's first 3 years, he stupidly and arrogantly touted Bidenomics until it became clear that, like Afghanistan and Ukraine and the Middle East, everything the guy touched turned to shit, including the economy. So they had to stop touting it. You know how the resume gurus always tell you to put concrete numbers on your CV? You know, quantify your value as much as possible. Well, here's a sample of Joe's. Generation high inflation. Gas prices up 48%. Grocery prices up 21%. Dining out, up 21%. Baby food, up 30%. Pet food, up 24%. Rent, up 21%. Electricity, up 28%. Natural gas, up 27%. Used cars, up 21%. Airfare, up 33%. Public transportation, up 22%. Real average weekly earnings, down 4%. Now, even the Alphabet Soup conspiracy media regularly brings you stories of people losing their full-time job, replacing it with several part-time jobs, while paying 30% more for necessities like grocery, gas, and energy. Most recently, headlines touted that the majority of jobs quote-unquote created over the last few years have almost exclusively gone to illegal immigrants, or they were government jobs, not U.S. citizens, and not in the private sector. Here's some more numbers to be included on Biden and the Democrats' resume. Ran the national debt up to $35 trillion, printing an additional $1 trillion every 90 to 100 days. Interest on the national debt became the largest outlay of the government. U.S. deficit tops $1.1 trillion for the first 6 months of fiscal 2024, as spending hits 2024 high. Wonderful stuff, huh? You've likely heard the expression, what they accuse you of, they are likely doing. Well, that wholeheartedly applies to the left wing in America. One of the latest crazes of the Marxist left is to call Trump a dictator and vow that if elected, he will act like one. They, of course, provide no evidence. It's just more slander, propaganda, and gaslighting of their severely ill-informed voters. All the while, Biden's dictatorial accolades include moral depravity, ignoring congressional subpoenas, sociopathic tendencies, nepotism, abuse of power, usurpation of power, stealing, money laundering, ignoring the Constitution, trying to turn over America's health sovereignty to the World Health Organization, weaponizing the Department of Justice to indict, bankrupt, convict, jail, and persecute political opponents, pushing lockdowns and vaccine mandates during COVID, election fraud, student loan forgiveness defying a Supreme Court opinion. Speaking of the Supreme Court, do you remember the dangerous rhetoric emanating from the White House around the Dobbs abortion opinion? Did Biden step up and intervene when Pelosi refused to fund more protection for the conservative justices who were being stalked and harassed by left-wing lunatics? Of course not. The dude refuses to assign Secret Service protection to RFK Jr., and he killed off a generation of Ukrainian men, left thousands to die at the hands of the Taliban in Afghanistan, and is looking to start World War III. Why would he give two shits about five judges? Then, in his most recent State of the Union address, the dude threatened the Supreme Court, who sit in the front row during the State of the Union addresses. Again, not surprising, Biden has been a puffed-up bully his entire career. The guy thinks very highly of himself. On the energy front, how about these ridiculous electric vehicle mandates? Unconstitutionally and dictatorially dictating to car manufacturers the mix of vehicles in which they may produce. He has waged war on affordable gasoline and natural gas by revoking scores of Trump energy policy executive orders, and he killed the Keystone XL pipeline. Instead, he wants to substitute it with inefficient, unreliable, and expensive wind and solar power. All this as energy prices and the price of everything else bankrupt the middle class. Now, I'm no fool. I understand that most politicians, especially those at the national level, are crooked and immoral. They are on the take. Many are being blackmailed by the intelligence community. But Biden takes immorality to another level, even worse than his current and former boss, the Big O. Consider the denial of RFK Jr. of Secret Service protection, as I just mentioned. Consider the sabotage of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Or how about the immorality of being on the take for decades? As I've already mentioned, taking millions of dollars from foreign governments, tax evasion, money laundering? What does it say about the morality of someone who is a pathological liar and a plagiarist? Or you father two children with either drug and or sex addictions. Can anyone say cocaine in the White House? What kind of father of the year sends his drug and sex-addicted son all over the globe collecting millions of dollars which he uses to feed his addictions, as evidenced by Hunter's laptop? Certainly not a moral father would do that. Or you are a creep who sniffs kids and invades their personal space and creepily touches women who are not named Jill. Or you took inappropriate showers with your daughter named Ashley. Or you accosted a woman named Tara Reid. I mean, come on, people. You want to talk about media bias? We know all about Stormy Daniels and Trump's two ex-wives, but most Democratic voters have never heard the name Tara Reid. They are kept ignorant and ill-informed on purpose. What's more immoral than being a self-professed Catholic who endorses the killing of innocent babies in the womb? How would you characterize the morality of facilitating an invasion of the country in which you are the president of? Biden and the Democrats have purposely left the border wide open. 10 million at last count have entered the country. He removed Trump-era policies that managed the flow of migrants. He killed the Remain in Mexico policy. You want to talk about immoral? How about removing the DNA testing requirement of migrant children and the adult who is picking them up? At least make sure the two are related before sending a child off with some dude. Biden and the Democrats have resided over the loss of some 50,000 children who came over the border, most likely lost to sex traffic or slave labor. That one statistic alone explains the depravity of Biden and the Democrats. Only the demon-possessed can advocate for such a policy. They want to kill innocent babies in the womb and facilitate the trafficking of those who survive the womb. How about the fact that among the millions of illegals allowed into the country, the majority are military-age men, many on the terrorist watch list? After facilitating the evasion, they then send the FBI director out on what seems to be a quarterly basis to testify before Congress and warn the American people that the nation is on the highest terrorist alert level since 9/11. Human life means nothing to these people. This is all being done on purpose. It's disgusting. It's immoral. How about allowing 100,000 military-age male Chinese nationals into the country and then sending out a warning to governors to be aware of the potential sabotage of the water supply by, wait for it, Chinese nationalists? How about allowing toxic drugs over the border, which at last count kills about 100,000 Americans a year? Human life means nothing to these people. They only care about acquiring and maintaining power. Besides the influence peddling, acceptance of bribes, and money laundering, the illegalities on Biden and the Democrats' resume is quite impressive. Most notably is the web known as the censorship industrial complex. They know they cannot win policy arguments on the merits, so they silence opposition, just like all good Marxists do. What else can we put on Biden's and the Democrats' resume? How about two words? Kamala Harris. Victor Davis Hanson recently published a post on Twitter along the same lines of what I'm trying to convey to you here. Some of it I have woven into the episode's content, but here are a few more excerpts that I think will help drive the point of this episode home. Appease or subsidize enemies like Iran and China. Demonize allies like Israel. Allow terrorists to attack Americans without response. See Islam as either similar or superior to Christianity. Make amends to leftist governments for supposedly past toxic American international behavior. Follow the lead of international agencies like the UN, the ICC, and the WHO to atone for past American neo-colonial and imperialist behavior. Recede to second-tier international status, befitting American decline. In a multiracial democracy, define identity only as one's tribal affiliation. Ensure each identity group rivals the other for victimhood and the state spoils it confers. Destroy all meritocratic standards of admission, retention, promotion, and commendation. Encourage the fusion of the bureaucratic state with the electric media to form a powerful force for political audit, surveillance, censorship, and coercion. Marry the FBI to Silicon Valley and hire its contractors to warp the news and hound supposed enemies of the people. Marry late, but preferably not at all. Consider males toxic, especially boys. Have no children, or as few as possible. Otherwise, assure children they are entitled and must be sheltered. Raise them to have grievances against past generations and current norms. Turn world-class universities into indoctrination centers. Suspend the Bill of Rights on campus. Train youth to graduate despising their own culture and civilization. Recruit foreign students from hostile nations and subsidize campus commissar bloat. Replace the curriculum with therapeutic propaganda. ban the SAT and ACT, and do not evaluate high school GPAs. Ensure merit does not select the student body. Charge tuition higher than the rate of inflation. Bill the government when students default on their loans. I hate to be hyperbolic, but I honestly do not think the country can survive another 4 years under Democratic rule. I call it the doomsday cult, formerly known as the Democratic Party, for good reason. They are purposely trying to destroy all that is good about America. At the national level, the party is run by full-blown Marxists and communists. Just read the Communist Manifesto and then look at America. You will be astonished at how much of the agenda has been implemented already. I gotta tell you, folks, the more episodes I produce, the more uncertain I feel over the long-term prospects of the United States existing in a form anywhere close to that which we inherited from the founding generation. Liberty and freedom are being sucked dry. The federal government is 1,000 times larger than any founding father other than Alexander Hamilton ever imagined it would be. The people running this overbearing, overwhelming, overreaching government are largely made up of corrupt, immoral hacks who sold out their constituents long ago. I say this all the time, but I just can't help myself. In order to save America from herself, to save her from the doomsday cult, formerly known as the Democratic Party, and to save her from the feckless, corrupt Republicans in D.C., I see no other option short of mass secession by the states. We need 5 or 10 states to say enough is enough. We're done taking unconstitutional and illegal orders and dictates from D.C. We are done with the debt. We are done with the open border. We are done with the welfare and warfare state. We're done with unconstitutional and destructive energy mandates. We're done with printing money and generation high inflation. We're done with the corrupt judicial system. We're not interested in another $1 trillion omnibus spending bill. We're not interested in sending billions to Ukraine. We're not interested in maintaining 700 military bases around the globe. We are not racists. We're not transphobes. We are tired of propaganda, lies, and gaslighting. Let's tie a bow on this episode. The resume of the ruling party over the last 3.5 years is atrocious. In a nation of fully informed voters, Trump wins 49 states. But we live in a highly corrupt country whereby half of the voters have no idea how screwed we are. Half of that half are completely brainwashed and mind-numb robots who vote for the person with the D next to their name, no matter who it is. Granted, there are certainly party-line Republican voters, but they're not robots. They just recognize the dangers of voting for Democrats in this day and age. And that's the truth about Biden and the Democrats' resume. Please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, share episodes with your friends, and support the podcast by shopping at truthquestshirtfactory.com.